Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And that's the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk a little bit about, from Scripture, how do you know somebody is saved? As an example for all of us, many people try to make Trump out to be a saved man. Now, anybody with an iota of sanity would vote for him before they would vote for the pedophiles that are drinking the blood of children on the other side, obviously. And yet, Trump is not a saved man at this point. Now, if he gets saved soon, some are saying the assassination attempt caused him to fall down and repent. There's actually a picture of him with his face pointed to the ground, and it looks like he's crying out to Jesus. But does that make it clear that he's saved? No, you got to go by Scripture. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Anybody who's saved will profess the Lord Jesus Christ by name and will uphold His Word and His divine authority above all else. Notice, Jesus said, "I say unto you, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me," what's His name? Jesus Christ, "before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men," that means he's not saved if he's not confessing Jesus Christ, "shall be denied before the angels of God." That's Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. The apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I'm reminded of some of the popular sports figures over the last few years that God allows to become very successful at what they do, and how they get up there when they have the audience of the world. They preach the gospel. They speak the Word of God. So a lot of people running around talking about spiritual things, but anything that's so-called spiritual, that's not in the name of Jesus Christ and coming out of the Word of God, is absolutely demonic. We should always be reminded that even the devils believe in God and tremble. James 2:19, "Satan and his fallen angels are spirits. They have spiritual things, deadly poison." And I meet them from time to time doing ministry on the streets, and they say, "Well, I'm spiritual." Now, I don't condemn them. They're just a lost sinner. It doesn't matter what facade they're hiding behind or what flavor of sinner. There's only two kingdoms in the earth, and that's the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Satan. So when we discern that somebody through what they say, because you know people by their fruit, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When they say things that clearly indicate that they're not saved, that's not the time to hit them over the head with a hammer. It's the time to go for the jugular, if you will. Give them the law. Start breaking them down with the commandments, the Ten Commandments, which you definitely should already have memorized and ready to go. And ask them if they've ever lied. And of course they've lied. We've all lied. Have they ever stolen? The Bible says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness or lie. Thou shalt not steal. Honor thy father and mother," which none of us have done fully and perfectly. We've all broken every commandment. "Thou shalt not covet. thou shalt not kill. Every time we've ever hated anybody, we are murderers in the eyes of a holy God, according to 1 John 3. How about thou shalt have no other gods before me? Have we not had ourselves before God? That's the number one idol we deal with, right? As a reminder, the Ten Commandments are found in Exodus chapter 20. Also see 1 Timothy 1, 7 through 10 concerning using the law to convict the wicked of their sins and bring them to Christ. So we've all broken all of God's commandments. So give them the word, go for the jugular and get them saved. Just be the solution. You are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus said. Matthew 5 verses 13 through 16. Of course, we know that only comes from being in him. He's the light of the world. Amen. And his light is in us. And we preach the light of his truth to win men to Jesus. That's why he came into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save, not condemn sinners. They're already under condemnation. John 3:17, 1 Timothy 1:15. So Jesus said, he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. This is a memory verse right here, so that you are ready to go when somebody says something about honoring God, but it's not in the name and the person and the perfect redemptive sacrifice of Jesus Christ, coming out of the Word of God, founded all on the final divine authority of the truth of God's written Word, then you know they're not saved. So there you go. Take the opportunity to begin questioning them about their own life and if they've ever hated anyone. If so, they're a murderer. Have they ever committed adultery by looking on a woman or somebody with lust? Well, they're sinners. Let the law do the work. Just stand behind the law, share it with them in love, let God begin to convict them of their sin, and that's when they're going to realize that they need the Savior, Jesus Christ, that they are undone in the eyes of a holy God and have no hope of being with him in eternity without or outside of Christ, that is. Again, memorize John 5:23. Jesus says, he that honoreth not the Son, that's Jesus Christ, obviously, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. So saying you're spiritual or you know God doesn't mean you know God. Jesus said, I am the way, not a way, the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I was thinking about something earlier. Think about how some people get upset. Now, that's because they're in darkness, obviously. And they say, there's not only one way to God. This is obviously people that are under Satan's control and in absolute darkness. Now, that would be like a fool at the bottom of a well. Think about it. In the country, we have wells where they have dug the well and they get the water out of the well. And some of those things are 10, 20, 50, 100 feet deep. Often we find out people are, they fall into those wells and are rescued. Just picture somebody at the bottom of a well. They accidentally fell down in there. They've got one guy that's standing at the opening on the ground, at the mouth, if you will, of the well with a rope. How absolutely lunatic or bizarre or unthinkable do you think it would be if you were standing back a few feet and you heard the guy at the bottom of the well who is absolutely going to die if the guy on the ground with the rope doesn't drop the rope to him? Now just picture the absurdity, looking up at the guy with the rope and saying, is that the only way that you can rescue me by dropping a rope? Oh, I don't think I like that method. So the idiocy of even imagining somebody being that deranged, you have to really kind of stretch to think somebody would be that stupid. God didn't have to provide any way for us. In the days of Noah, he killed everybody except eight souls. And out of them came the three sons of Noah, by which the earth was overspread and by which you and I came about by the ordination of God. And he sent his only begotten son later to die on the cross for our sins. That is the only way. Think about it, getting on a plane and being delusional enough to tell the pilot, listen, man, just take those instruments up there and just point them in any direction. We're here in Nashville. We're going to fly to Los Angeles, but it doesn't really matter where you point the plane. We're going to go there. No, you're not. You're going to go where the plane is pointed. And in the same way, you're going to go to heaven based on knowing Christ, and you're going to go to hell outside of Christ. He is the only Savior. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's Acts chapter 4, verse 12. My friend, let me ask you, have you memorized that verse? Are you memorizing Scripture? The Bible says to be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you of this hope. Why do you have hope? Think about it. Well, let's go to that verse in a minute. I'm going to go to 1 Peter 3:15. But first, I want you to memorize Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ and His name. His name means His authority. So notice 1 Peter chapter 3. Recently, I was thinking about how some people who aren't called into full-time ministry and go to work and stuff and every day, and I want to encourage you to realize you have a ministry. You have a ministry. Let me ask something. If you can remember back when you got saved, it may be kind of like when the Lord saved me. The biggest thing, the biggest factor, now the word being spoken to me was powerful, but the biggest factor was the word being demonstrated in the lives of the Christians around me. I grew up in New Orleans. There's very little gospel there was back then in New Orleans. It is destroyed and covered over with a blanket of darkness called Roman Catholicism, etc. I grew up Catholic, altar boy, a Catholic school, etc. So when I went in Marine Corps at 19 in boot camp, there was this really cool dude from Indiana. I mean, this guy was absolutely fabulous in the way that he had such a meek spirit, full of love, joy, and peace. And as you can kind of imagine, if you've seen some of the videos on YouTube about Marine Corps boot camp, they were all over you. You couldn't breathe. You couldn't flinch. They were there to separate you, to identify weak links and get rid of them, because that's what boot camp's about, partly, is getting rid of all weak links so that in wartime, everybody is functioning as a cohesive, obedient unit. And when you're commanded to do something, you don't even flinch, you don't even blink, you do it. So this guy, somehow in the middle of that, you could see, and I wasn't saved until I was 22, and the fruit of the Spirit, the life of Christ was in him. He had a settled, gentle, loving, kind, warm, full of joy and peace disposition, all of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I saw that in him. Therefore, I began asking questions, because I was the one leading the Catholic recruits. You're not a Marine until you finish the 92 days of boot camp. So I would lead the recruits in a little Catholic prayer and talk at the end of the evening. That's about the only free time you got. It was about 10 or 15 minutes. Anyway, but I was simultaneously seeing Jesus in this guy. And I was like, man, I don't have what he's got. That's for sure. And then later on, I saw Jesus in other people like that. And so I began asking questions and learning. And that's how Jesus brought me to himself. It culminated with me being invited by one of these amazing Christian people to a meeting when I had never heard the gospel. I heard it that night. Don't even remember what he preached. Not much of it. But I know my heart was beating a mile a minute. I knew that I was not right with God. And on that evening of October 31st, 1984, Jesus saved this wretched sinner into his eternal kingdom. Let me encourage you, if you're thinking that your part in the ministry, maybe you support it in prayer and in giving financial support, which is absolutely the fuel that makes full-time people that are called in the ministry go. We're all going to be rewarded together, the scriptures teach. And you're doing a lot by doing that. But notice that you are being a witness to those around you. They see the love, the joy, and the peace of Jesus in you. They see the light. They see how you're always smiling. Even though if anybody watches the news, it's kind of hard to get away from it. Hear of all these things coming on the earth. Luke 21 to me. Read Luke 21. And it gets worse every day because Jesus is coming. And by the way, remember, all these things were foretold. They have to happen for him to come. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, don't mope like the world as if you live with no hope. You have the eternal hope of being with Christ. And eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You and I should be rejoicing. Again, Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. These things are simply saying to your heart and mind, Jesus said that he's coming. So when you see these things come to pass, look up, lift up your head, man, get happy. For your redemption draweth nigh. He's coming soon. That's what those things are telling us every day as they get worse and worse. And there's all of these commotions and strife between nations and ethnic groups and every kind of conflict, not only in the world, but in the nation, as we mentioned earlier, but also right in our midst among the people. Sin and Satan are wreaking havoc. Jesus said that Satan, knowing that his time is short, is going to come down and is now coming down with great wrath. Revelation 12, verse 12. Satan is desperate, and he's doing everything he can to bring as many souls to damnation. By him, the whole world is being deceived, except for the body of Christ. Revelation 12, 7 through 12. Notice in the midst of that, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's the key. Being sanctified to the Lord. The Bible says that God has set apart. That's what sanctification means. Sanctified, sanctification means set apart unto God. In Psalm chapter 4, verse 3, this, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. So if you're set apart by Christ, unto Christ, you're rooted in Christ, and the root determines the fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's what? What is the first dimension of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. There's the cross right there. When the cross is at work in our lives and we're crucified with Christ, as chapter 2, verse 20 of the same book speaks of being crucified with Christ, then the fruit of the Holy Spirit is going to be produced in our lives because we're abiding in vital union with Christ. And we're planted in the rich soil of his beautiful kingdom, and all of those nutrients are feeding up through the roots of our lives, and they're producing what? They're producing a testimony that Jesus saves, right? As we spoke of earlier, anybody that's saved, you will know it. You don't have to listen to people that want somebody to be saved. A lot of people want Trump to be saved so they can kind of, quote unquote, sanctify their love for him or something. Let me stop right here. Listen, I don't hate Trump. I don't think he's a godly man yet either, unless he just got saved. So many Christian conservatives, they call them, those people would pour half of the energy that they're pouring a political movement that is temporary, has no eternal value. What if they would pour half the resources into the kingdom of Christ and into Christ, and they would look to him instead of looking to some man, because cursed is the man that trusts in man, Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6. Cursed is the man. Trump's a man, a mere sinner that needs the salvation of Jesus Christ. And so they will say, basically, Yeah, he's a Christian because he believes in some of the moral values of Christians or whatever. He's not a Christian until he's professing the name of Jesus Christ. That's how you will know from this moment forward, from the scriptures, who a true Christian is. They're declaring the name of Jesus. They say with Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What if they poured half the energy and half the money into the Great Commission? Let me just give you an example, since some of you are not in ministry full time, of what percentage of people that confess that they are saved give to the work of God. We've been doing this for decades. This is not a complaint. I'm just telling you that when you are reaching thousands of people a day with the gospel and you've got less than 10 or 12 people giving on a monthly basis to support that and to further the cause of Christ, it reminds you of how Jesus said, few there be which enter therein. Few. Listen, if you're not doing the work of God, you're not saved. It doesn't matter what else you think or what excuse you come up with. You better just repent. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. If you're not doing the will of God, that would include giving the first fruits of your time, your talent, and your treasure. I mean, I know that kind of gets in people's business, but I mean, you got the wherewithal and the love of self to spend all the money on self. If you really love Jesus, wouldn't he be first in your giving of your time and your treasures? I'm just asking a rhetorical question. It doesn't add up that people profess to be Christians and they throw their money in every direction. And then when they have an opportunity that God puts in front of them to help feed the poor so the gospel can be preached to them and to further the cause of the gospel of Christ and to feed the sheep of Christ, then they got to pray about it. In other words, they're dismissing it because they don't want to be bothered. That doesn't sound like the fruit of somebody who truly loves Jesus. Because somewhere in your life, if you love Jesus, you're going to put your foot down and say, God is first, not me or nothing else, come hell or high water. You're going to see the salvation, the deliverance, and the blessing of God. Because he says, those that give of the first fruits of their increase are going to have barns that overflow. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Let me read that to you before we finalize this message. And I mean, God has a plan, bless his people, but it's conditional upon our obedience. I mean, like it or not, people that get upset because you preach what the Bible teaches about conditions, why is that? Well, because they're so full of self, they don't want to change. They don't want to really repent. They love their darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil and they're going to hell. It doesn't matter what you profess. See, Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being an abominable. And unto every good work, reprobate. There's no good works because they don't really worship God. They worship self. Notice Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, everything you bring in, your income, and with the first fruits, not second, but first fruits of all thine increase. Did Jesus say to seek ye first? What number did he use? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. You're going to be blessed. Just worship God by putting him literally, practically first. Verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, filled, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. What a picture. Notice 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, put him first. When he's first in your heart, he will be first in your harvest and your giving of your time, the affections of your heart, of your treasure, etc. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer from the scriptures and your own testimony. Remember, they overcame Satan by the blood of a lamb. Hallelujah for the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the word of their testimony, that would mean of how that blood has washed them. my Spanish is limited at this point, but I'm able to share with people through the speaking in Spanish about la preciosa sangre de Jesucristo will wash you, and I do a hand gesture, of all your sins. And I raise my hands with a great smile from the Holy Spirit of God, looking up to Jesus, sharing and communicating with them that Jesus wants to wash away all your sins. These people, the more you preach to them, the more they want to sit there and listen. And now we have the weapon of the Jesus tract. Thank God for those who gave for that. So we got a clear, concise, amazing gospel message. The Jesus tract is in English and it's in Spanish. And let me stop to say this, that we have it on PDF form, print ready. All you got to do is ask for it, no matter where you are on God's green earth, and we'll email it to you. And you can go to a local printer and get it printed, Spanish or English, or both. We're praying right now as we speak. I just got off the phone with the group from Florida that I'm privileged to minister God's word to every Sunday morning. And we're praying for the money to get 1,000 Jesus tracts in English and 1,000 in Spanish. That's a huge Spanish community there. Everybody knows South Florida. And so if anybody wants to give to that, please do. Your money will be poured right into the gospel. We need it too. Let me tell you, your gifts are vital. You doing your part is absolutely vital, beloved. When somebody gives an offering, it's like a lightning bolt that invigorates us afresh. Now, we're living by faith and we're just going to keep on doing it. I don't know how we made it this far. You would not believe. Leave it there. But your giving is fuel for the gospel. We're not building anybody's name. We're not building a church. We don't have a building. We have a very small, low profile. You would not even believe. How did we get here? It's by miracles. We're doing this by faith, saints. We got groups now all over the country of ministering disciples that we're fueling. Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Florida, Colorado, Texas, etc., etc. Please forgive me if I left anybody out. We're here to fuel those ministries. The Bible says that those that are called out to be servant elders are there to do what? Equip the saints for the work of the ministry. It ain't about us. We're the least of the least of the least. We're beyond low. It's about feeding into them prayerfully with the word, any counsel they need, any wisdom from the word, which is going on a regular basis every week with supply. Bibles, English Bibles, Spanish Bibles, we're dropping them all over the country. And now we're in Mexico. This thing's expanding. We definitely need your prayer. And pray for the supply of the ministry here, please. And by the way, this month we've had 2 unexpected expenses come up. So we covet your prayer. Note, as we come to a close, I hope, 1 John 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be set apart, man. Don't be lukewarm about it. Just drive a stake in the ground and say, Jesus, I want you to have all of me, Lord. Into your hands I commend my whole being, which you created to worship you right now. Wash me afresh in your blood, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Ghost. Do your work in me so that you can do your work through me. That's how it works, saints. See, notice this is often used, and rightfully so, verse on being used of God to minister to others, to build up the body of Christ, first and foremost, to edify and feed the sheep around you. Pray for them every day, but also to reach the lost. It all starts with what? Sanctifying the Lord in your hearts. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Drive that stake in the ground today with fresh repentance, and then God is going to refresh and fill you. According to the scriptures, Acts 3:19, when we repent, that's when the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you. I want to stay under that spout where the glory comes out, as the song used to say, right? You can do it. Just choose to do it. You got to choose today. You're not living in tomorrow. You're just living right now. Take no thought for the morrow. Just enjoy his presence and fellowship today. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. It kind of could go several ways here. Let's do this first. Let's say when you're being ready to give an answer, it's because you're in the Word every day. You've already backslidden if you're not in the Word and in prayer every day, friend. I didn't say that to get you upset, but it's the truth. And you getting upset only seems to confirm the truth of the matter. You think that Jesus is some kind of a sky fairy that does what you want when you ask him, or you go to church, so somehow you think that makes you a disciple? No. Jesus said this, and it's written in Luke chapter 14, verse 27, that if you're going to come after him and be his disciple, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow him. That's what he says. You can't follow Christ any other way than that which he commanded and prescribed, and that is the daily cross. So if you're not taking up the cross daily, or at least learning, as we all are, to deny self, take up your cross, and follow him, then you're not following him. That's the reality of the matter. I'm not going to be guilty of lying to you. Now just repent. Perhaps I should say, shut your mouth and repent. Lay down your life. Get on your face before a holy God. Trust me, you're going to be glad you did. But somebody says, well, apostles never told anybody to shut up. Well, I'm speaking to you man to man. If that's wrong, email me, guys. I'm just trying to make the point. Stop the complaining and the excuses. Lay down your life, door nailed dead. Just drop to the ground. Get alone with God and repent. What does that mean? Just return to God. Return. He misses you. Turn back to him. That's all it's saying. That's what repent is. Repentance is a necessity. Jesus said, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. What does repentance mean? You're turning to God. By the way, in case we need to be reminded, when we've done things our own way, it never worked anyway. So why do we resist turning to him and letting him take control? All doing things our own way produces sin, death, separation, guilt, shame, misery, an unclean conscience, and every other evil under the sun. Whosoever, Jesus said, doth not bear his cross and come after me. What does bearing the cross mean? It means you're putting him first, not you. You're crucified. You're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. Whosoever, that's everybody, doth not bear his cross. But brother, I've been saved. I'm exempt from this. No, you're not. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. If you're not his disciple, you're not saved. You're doing things your own way, not his way. You're like Cain, who did things his own way. You're going to hell if you don't repent. Be like Abel. Trust in the blood sacrifice of Christ. Delight in going to the throne of his grace to receive fresh washing and fresh mercy, fresh washing of his blood. Not only mercy to forgive you right there on the spot, but also grace to help in times of need. In other words, grace to his divine enablement to begin now to live the crucified life and not have to fall into those sins again. But sanctify, let's close here, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Notice that when you walk in the Spirit and you're sanctifying the Lord in your heart, people are going to do like I did when I was lost and look at you and scratch their head going, man, inside you're thinking, I got religion. That hadn't produced anything. I'm just as much a rank sinner as everybody else around me. All I got's dead religion. But this guy, this girl, can anybody else think of people that made that impact on your life by living in the Spirit and therefore having the fruit of the Spirit, and you standing back beholding them? Might have been a family member for you, might have been like me, somebody in the military, somebody at school, somebody you knew that got your attention, because while everybody else in the world was unhappy, all sinners are unhappy, by the way, 100%. Doesn't matter if they're smiling or not. One of the people that had an impact on my life, she said, Todd, when you go to a red light this week, she said, look at the faces of the people. Because you're seeing people parked for a few seconds or moments there at a red light. And that's just how she framed it to me. So I did. I started looking at people and she goes, do they look happy? And I'm like, no. They don't. I started doing what she said and looking at nobody's happy except Christian. And we need to ask God to intensify our death and burial so that the intensity and the power of that resurrection raising up reciprocally of Christ is shining more and more in us. Amen. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Because why? He's the light of the world. John 8:12. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and the fruit of the Spirit," right? "And glorify your Father which is in heaven." And notice that. Connect that with what Peter's saying here. That people are going to come ask you, "Man, what do you got, brother, sister? You got something I don't have." They're not going to ask you that in those exact words, but they're going to be drawn to you. Like, let's say 100 people were in a dark forest. I mean, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. It was that dark. At midnight or whatever, at the darkest part of the night, and then one little light in the distance is shining. Which way are all of those 100 people going to look? They're going to look to the light. And listen, that's what people around you are going to do, beloved. They're going to look to the light of Christ shining in you. How does this guy have love, joy? How is he always smiling? Everything in the world's going down. All of our freedoms are taken away. The government is stealing our children and our money from every angle. When we die, we got to pay a tax, a death tax. None of that is going to do anything but depress you unless you're walking in the Spirit. You got something they don't have, and God's going to use you right where you are. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that each person listening to this message right now would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, we pray, as did Epaphras for the body of Christ. We pray for a fresh washing of the blood of Jesus and a deep hunger and desire to engross themselves in your word, to devour your word, and to be able to say, with the beloved prophet Jeremiah, "Thy words, Lord, were found, and I did eat them." I devoured and ingested them. And thy word, as a result of the word going into me, as me getting into the word got into me. "And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Jeremiah 15:16. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.